Okay.
Bakasha, we're going to get started. I apologize for the few minutes behind schedule, but there's a lot going on in the yeshiva, I guess. No comments. I don't think it's working. There we go. Okay. The format of this evening, I think you know, but just first of all, does everybody have a source sheet?
Yeah, I have
one. Rabbi Weintraub on the front, his sources, and Rabbi Terrigan on the back. We decided Rabbi Terrigan's in from Israel, and it's always a pleasure to have him. And his Rabbi Weintraub, who learned in the Gush, where Rabbi Terrigan, of course, is a Rebbe, so I thought it'd be a nice idea to bring them here together. Pre-Shavuot, and they're each going to talk on the Gemara, Anasa v'Nishma, each from their own point of view. They'll talk about 25 minutes, a half an hour each, and then we'll have time for questions afterwards. So, without further ado, we'll start with Rav Weintraub, of course, is the Sgan Rosh Kollel of the Yeshiva University, Kol Mitzion, Zichron Dov, Beit Midrash, I think I got all the names in, and of course, the Beit Midrash will be actually functioning in Orach Chaim next year, so Bakasha, Rabbi Weintraub.
Thank you very much. Good evening. It's a pleasure to be here and to speak. And it's an honor to give a shiur together with someone. As Rabbi Kerman said, my bio is that I was a student in Eretz Yisrael, and to stand along with someone that his title is the Rebbe in Yeshivat Eretz Yisrael is, of course, a very big honor for me. So thank you. Well, I was asked by Rabbi Kelman to speak about Na'aseh v'Nishma and the Gemara, the way that the Gemara in Shabbat Daf Peichet explains this concept of Na'aseh v'Nishma, and as it was expressed before, Pirer to Chet Ha'Egel. So the pasuk is familiar. We are all familiar with the pasuk. It's in source Aleph, in your source sheet. Vayikach sefer habrit, vayikra beuznei ha'am, vayomru kol asher diber Hashem na'aseh v'nishma. So after Moshe Rabbeinu reads from the Book of Covenant, an interesting question is, what is the content of the Book of Covenant? But it's outside of our scope right now. And the reaction of Am Yisrael is, Kol asher diber Hashem, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say, Na'aseh v'nishma, will do, even before, simple meaning, even before hearing. And as we all know, Chazal saw that answer of Am Yisrael as one maybe of the biggest moments in the history of Am Yisrael. And just one example, not from the Gemara in Shabbat Peichet, which we'll deal with in a few minutes, in Mirtzeh Hashem, but from the Midrash in Vayikra Rabba. And the Midrash in Vayikra Rabba, quoted in Source Bet, in front of you, says, Amar Rabbi Levi, Kol peulot tovot venechamot, all the good deeds, all the conciliations that HaKadosh Baruch Hu atid la'asot im Yisrael, everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done with us and will do with us, einam ela bishvil pu'a shepa'item, they all come out as a consequence, as a result of what we had said in Sinai, ואמרתם כל אשר דיבר השם נעשה ונשמע. So that's one of that's a minute that Am Yisrael was defined maybe by this נעשה ונשמע. But in order to understand better this concept of נעשה ונשמע, I would like to ask a question. Now, I would ask it in a very certain way, in what we may call the pilpul way, but underneath this pilpul lies, I think, a much inner and deeper question. And the Rambam in Source Gimel, being brought in front of you, speaking about Ilchot Mechira, that's the Alachot, Ilchot Mamonot, how can I sell things, how can I commit myself to do certain things, and the Rambam says, "Chayav chiyev atzmo bedavar sheino katzuv." If someone has committed to do something or to give something that he doesn't know even how much money or how many things he's committed himself to. For example, כגון שאמר הרי אני חייב לזון אותך או לחסות 5 שנים. Let's say that I have committed, I have promised my wife that I would give her clothes for 5 years. So to my wife I am obligated to do it anyway, but let's say to my wife's daughter, I am not obligated to give her clothes. She's not my daughter, but still I guess after some pressure I decided that I commit myself to give her clothes for 5 years. Now, as we all know, we cannot never know how many clothes a girl will need in 5 years. So that's what we call davar sheino katsuv. That's something that it's not definite. We cannot define how much we are speaking about. Says Rambam, af al pi shekanu miyado, even that there was a legal act of kinyan, that I committed myself, I had a commitment, still I am not obligated. Lo nishta'abed. I am not obligated, I cannot obligate myself to something that I don't know exactly and precisely to what I am committing myself. And I think that the question is clear. And the question is, according to Beit Halevi al Torah, v'hine yadu adat ha-Rambam in source Daled, v'hine yadu adat ha-Rambam, we all know, at least now we know, that the opinion of Rambam is שהמחייב עצמו בדבר שאינו קצוב, if I try to commit myself to a sum that I don't know how much is it, לא חל עליו החיוב. It's not validate. ואם כן, ישראל, by saying נעשה ונשמע, שקיבלו על עצמם החיוב, accepted upon themselves this commitment, קודם שידעו הפרטים, before they knew what the details are, how it can work? So it seems that Beit Halevi is not familiar with the procedure, right, that we are going to the bank, we are opening an account, and we are signing something that we have no idea what is written in. But at least according to the halacha, according to the Rambam, one cannot commit himself, cannot obligate himself to what he doesn't know. So how can it be, asks Beit Halevi, how can it be that Bnei Israel committed themselves by saying, Na'aseh v'nishma? As I said, this question is being expressed in a pilpul way, by a question from Hilchot Mechira. But truth is, of course, that it's also a question they can ask ourselves without the Rambam in Hilchot Mechira. How can you enter into a covenant with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or with anyone else for that matter, without knowing what you are signing on? That's the question of Na'aseh v'nishma. In order to explain the answer that Beit Halevi gave, which we'll get in a few minutes, Im Yirtzeh Hashem, we'll have to go through another question, or maybe something that needs an explanation. And this time, don't worry, we are in the Gemara in Shabbat Peichet Amud Aleph. And the Gemara there say, in source Hey, ויתייצבו בתחתית הער, ויתייצבו בתחתית הער, אמר רב עבדי מבר חמא בר חצא, what is this language? They stand, not in the legs of the mountain, but it seems under the mountain. And the famous Midrash says, מלמד שקפה עליהם הקדוש ברוך הוא, קפה הקדוש ברוך הוא עליהם את ההר כגיגית. So הקדוש ברוך הוא has stand the mountain over them. And he told them, you have 2 choices. אם אתם מקבלים התורה, if you accept the Torah upon yourself, fine, מוטב. ואם לא, but if not, rest in peace. שם תהיה קבורתכם. That's the end. אמר רבך בר יעקב, מכאן מודעה רבה לאורייתא. So that's a very, says רבך בר יעקב, that's a very important thing to know. מודעה, halachically speaking, means that if I was forced to accept upon myself a commitment, an obligation, if I was forced, then I am not obligated to what I signed on, or to what I bought. Now it's a little more complex sugya, but that would be sufficient for now. So, our commitment to Har Sinai, to the Brit, the covenant that was signed in Har Sinai, does not obligate us. It was forced upon us. So the Gemara continues and said that in the time of Achashverosh, maybe there was a second sign, and this time out of our free will, but that's the beginning of the Gemara there. And Rish Lakish continues and say, "Mai dechtiv v'yei erev v'yei boker yom ha-shishi?" What is yom ha-shishi? Why there is a hey there? Hey yeter alamali? מלמד שיתנה הקדוש ברוך הוא עם מעשה בראשית. There was a condition. The creation was created under a condition. And what was the condition? התנה הקדוש ברוך הוא עם מעשה בראשית ואמר להם, אם מקבלים ישראל התורה אתם מתקיימים, אם עם ישראל would accept upon himself the Torah, if the commitment would be signed, if the covenant would be accepted, then אתם, meaning השמיים והארץ, the sky and the earth, you would exist. But if עם ישראל would refuse to accept upon himself the covenant, then not only that's the end of Am Israel, but that's the end of the whole creation. So that's what we call an offer you cannot refuse. So the same question applies. How this commitment works? And the Maharal, in Tiferet Israel, Perek Lamed Bet, explains this Gemara. And he says, Ve'al ikshe, sof sof haya bechinam, ma shekafa alehem har kegigit, שהרי כבר אמרו, נעשה ונשמע, why הקדוש ברוך הוא had to use such an extreme measurement in order to force עם ישראל to accept upon themselves the Torah? עם ישראל already said, נעשה ונשמע, we'll do, we'll obey to everything that you would say. Why do we need to force them by having the mountain hanging upon their heads? Why it's needed? לפיכך, says מהר"ל, כפה עליהם הר כגיגית. במה שהחיבור הזה הכרחי, this connection, says מהר"ל, between עם ישראל and the Torah, there is an aspect in this connection that is forced. ואינו דבר שאפשר שיהיה ואפשר שלא יהיה. In a certain aspect, קבלת התורה is something that is not really to our choice. In what aspect? מהר"ל explains. לפיכך מסיק שם אחר זה מיד. That's what the Gemara explains immediately. אמר ריש לקיש, תנאי יתנה הקדוש ברוך הוא עם מעשה בראשית. There was a condition that הקדוש ברוך הוא has made with the creation. What does that mean? The creation, conditions, מתן תורה. What is going on here? And the מהר"ל explains. כשם שברא השם יתברך כל מעשה בראשית, as הקדוש ברוך הוא, הקדוש ברוך הוא created the trees. The tree has a certain DNA in it. He will grow his leaves in a certain shape. A pine tree would grow pines if you would want it or if you wouldn't. It's just the way it works. It's part of its DNA. כשם שברא השם יתברך כל מעשה בראשית, ונתן לכל אחד, הקדוש ברוך הוא gave to every object, every thing that was created, טבעו, its nature, אשר יהיה נוהג עליו, that would be the way that it would operate, it would work. In the same manner, says the Maharal, עם ישראל was created in a way that the Torah was already inscribed, carved into our DNA. It's not something that we can accept or not accept. It's already in us. And because of that, that's what the Gemara wants to say when it speaks about the way that we are forced to accept the Torah. Because the truth is that it's not something that we can choose. According to this Maharal, according to this explanation, to kafa alehem har kegigit, I want now to take a step back and explain na'aseh v'nishma. If you continue in the Gemara there in Shabbat Peichet, the Gemara says, אמר רבי אלעזר, בשעה שהקדימו ישראל נעשה לנשמע, in that hour when בני ישראל had said, has theorized, has said נעשה, before they said נשמע, יצא בת קול ואמרה, מגילה רז זה לבני. So there was a voice that came out of the sky and said, who has discovered this secret to my sons? רז שמלאכי השרת משתמשים בו. This statement, נעשה ונשמע, is a secret that only מלאכי השרת, the angels, knew till now. Why מלאכי השרת are more נעשה ונשמע, have more נעשה ונשמע than us? רב קוק, in his מאמרי הראיה, explains, using the same principle that we saw in the מהר"ל. And he explains as the following, in source chet. כל דבר החקוק בטבע, everything that is carved into nature, אינו צריך לשמיעה וללימוד. That's an instinct. You don't have to learn to study in order to have your instincts. הדבורה, the bee, בונה את תאי קברתה בדיוק המספרי יותר שלם. The bee builds its house in the right manner without studying geometry. בלי שמיעה של שיעורים בהנדסה. מפני שככה קוק בטבעה, that's its nature. ובעולם הרוחני, if you speak about the spiritual world, אין היצורים הרוחניים העליונים צריכים שמיעה לפני מפעליהם. The angels do not really need the קדוש ברוך הוא to tell them, look, you should go A, and there you should do B, and after that please go upstairs back. They don't need it. And why not? מפני שקדושתם היא להם טבעית, their holiness is as an instinct. They are doing that because they understand out of themselves what is the will of הקדוש ברוך הוא. רק בני אדם, only us, human, העלולים להיות נבוכים על ידי מהומות המדע המזויב, that can be confused by their own intellect, and be mistaken about the question what is good and what is bad, only them צריכים התאמצות, only them they need to work it out in order לשוב אל הטבע הטהור הנפשי שלהם, in order to return to their pure instincts that we also have, as all other creations in the world. We also have a pure instincts, but we are being confused. So we need to somehow work it out in order to return to our instincts. And then, אנחנו במעמד הר סיני, when עם ישראל stood in מעמד הר סיני, in this covenant with הקדוש ברוך הוא, באנו לידי המעלה העליונה הזאת, we came to this higher level, ונהיינו ישראלים, טבעיים, we returned to our nature, we became purified, כתב האיתן של נשמתנו, as our soul, בעצם טהרה, in its pureness, ובשביל כך, and that's the important sentence, הקדמנו נעשה לנשמה. So what does that mean? That נעשה comes before נשמה? According to Rav Kook, that means that Am Yisrael were in a level while they stood in the legs of Har Sinai, they were in a level where they can say that even without thinking, out of their own instincts, they would operate doing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's will as the angels, as the flowers, as the trees, as everything around us. That's the higher level that one can aspire to. And truth is, that's the answer of Bet HaLevi. Bet HaLevi explains, המחייב עצמו, we remember the question. The question was, how can you say נעשה ונשמה? How can you commit yourself? How can you obligate yourself to something that is not defined? That has no quantity? And the answer is, says Rav Kook, המחייב עצמו, הרי עיקר הקבלה הוא החיוב. When I obligate myself to give something, then I need to know what I should give. If it's not defined, I cannot commit myself. אבל המוכר עצמו לעבד, interesting example, if I'm selling myself to be a slave, says בית הלוי, אינו מקבל עליו שום חיוב. He does not accept upon himself any obligation. What does he do? He says his own body. רק מקנה גופו לרבו. ובזה שפיר חלק עניין. His body he can sell. ומשום מה חלה קבלה על ישראל. So the slave doesn't know how many walks his new master would give him in the next year. So it's not defined how one can sell himself to be a slave. And the answer is because he does not make a commitment to do so and so walks. What he is doing is to sell his own body. And from now on, out of being bought by the buyer, by his master, he is obligated to do whatever his master will tell him. And the expense of Bet HaLevi, that's not seven ishma. ומשום אחי חלה קבלה על ישראל. That's how they could have said, they could have committed themselves by saying not seven ishma. הם לא קיבלו על עצמם התורה. They didn't commit themselves to each one of the תרי"ג מצוות separately. אלא יקנו גופם להתורה ולעבודתו יתברך. They changed their own body. They said, from now on, נעשה ונשמע, we'll somehow reconnect ourselves to this pure nature, as the flowers, as the trees, as the angels. What was here before, maybe, חטא אדם הראשון, before חטא עץ הדעת, before our conscience, before our mind, has somehow confused tov vara, good and evil, and by returning to our own pure instincts, we'll be purified. Nase v'nishma.
How much time do I have, Rekerman?
5 minutes. Okay, I explained nase. That's half. But as we all know, let's see, you just continue in the Gemara in Source Yud. Darash Rabbi Simai, בשעה שהקדימו ישראל נעשה לנשמע, באו 60 ריבו של מלאכי השרת, so came along, 60 ריבו, 60,000 מלאכי השרת, לכל אחד ואחד מישראל קשרו לו שני כתרים, and there were 2 crowns that were gave to each one of them, of עם ישראל. אחד כנגד נעשה, what I just explained, but there was another one, כנגד נשמע. According to what I said right now, according to the Maharal, according to Rav Kook, I can understand why Naaseh is important. But is it important? The flower has to understand why he is walking the way he is walking for the sake of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does the angel have to understand why he is doing whatever he is doing out of his pure instincts? Why do we need Nishma?
5 minutes.
So, the answer in a nutshell. There is a difference between Asiya and Shmiya. I will explain the difference by an example. I saw a guy giving a ring to a girl. That's what I saw. That's a ma'aseh. That's a deed. If someone would have to tell me what I saw, he have many, many ways to tell me what he saw. Right? One option is that this guy was in debt to this girl, and he paid his debt by giving her a ring. Another option, maybe she is his girlfriend, he gave her a present. Another option is kiddushin. He married her by giving her the ring. The same act can have different meanings. That is the difference between na'aseh, it's concept, it's one, it's soil. But nishma can change according to the angle of the one that's here, according to what he knows, according to what he doesn't know. Na'aseh v'nishma, the addition of nishma is what separates human being from the flowers or from the angels. According to Rav Kook, according to the Maharal, na'aseh v'nishma, that ma'ala, this level of na'aseh v'nishma means that I'm acting throughout of the pure spirit that is within me. That's fine. I am doing only good deeds. But it's just not enough. That's not why we are humans. Nishma means that we have to work out. We can elevate ourselves, not only by acting, but also by understanding better whatever we are doing. And that way, upgrading these instincts. That way, improving, advancing our world, and that way we can reconcile Naaseh with Nishma, although Naaseh should come before the Nishma. All of this, as I said, is Naaseh v'Nishma that before the sin. Because that's Naaseh v'Nishma where one believes that the pure instincts of human being are pure. Rav Kook maybe could say it, he lived before the Holocaust. Am Israel could say it before Chet Ha'Egel. But that's not so simple, maybe for us, as it was for them. When one acts from his own pure instincts, is it so pure? Is it so good? How can we operate in a world? And that's the last source, don't worry. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shnei Kosot Mazagtem B'Sinai. There were 2 cups that were put in Sinai. One for Naaseh, and the second for Nishma. Shavartem Naaseh. The cup of Naaseh has been broken. Our faith, our trust in our instincts was broken. Asitem lefanai egel. You made a golden calf. Hizaru v'nishma. After you lost the Naaseh, now when we remain with the Nishma, and I will conclude with that, and we'll have to hear from Rabbi Targin, I think, how we can manage in the world after the chet. Thank you.
Rabbi comes up with a
very brief introduction. It's really a pleasure to welcome him. Rabbi Terekin, I think many of you know, is a tremendous Marbid Torah, a tremendous Talmid Chacham. He's been living in Israel a long time. We go back to our days in Yeshiva University, and it's always a pleasure to have him in Toronto, and thank you very much for honoring us with your words of Torah. Bakasha. The sheet. Oh, you need your own sheet.
Do I have to stand here? Do I have to stand?
Ask our sound technician. He says yes.
Okay. So I'll try that. Yashkoach, Rabbi Kelman. Yashkoach, Rabbi Baruch. Very, very challenging act to follow. Put it that way. You so elegantly described all the enthusiasm and the faith and the courage and the vision, and those words are etched on our memory. Which Jew isn't infused with a sense of history when he hears that tandem of Nasev and Ishmael? Imagining the two crowns descending from Har Sinai. And then it all came crashing down. And it all came tumbling down. And in one minor moment of indiscretion, we all have those moments. And unfortunately, those moments more often follow the moments of spiritual high. The moment of indiscretion, Eilu Elohecha Yisrael. Imagine the horror to prostrate yourself in front of a golden calf. Weeks after Har Sinai, weeks after that supernatural moment, standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Such a letdown, such an anticlimax, so tragic, so frustrating, so historically disorienting. We were 11 days away from Utopia. That's how long it would have taken to march from Har Sinai to Israel. 11 days. Could you imagine how hard we fought, how long we've marched, how tenacious we've struggled? And sometimes you fall so far, you forget you're falling, and you make peace with your reality. So we live in Toronto, and we live in wherever we live, but none of this was meant to happen. It's important to embrace it, and it's important to improve it, and it's important to contribute, but it's all a mirage. 11 days away from the kingdom of God, 11 days away from Yemos HaMashiach, 11 days away from the end of history, and it all was dismantled in a moment of courageless or a moment of fear and cowardice and lack of imagination, lack of stamina. So everything Rabbi Baruch just said, what happened to it? Fascinatingly, right after the Gemara in Shabbos describes all those beautiful nuances of Nasev and Nishma, source number two on the back page, Ula, excuse me for saying this, Ula, one of the Amoraim, has the gall to rub our noses in the eagle, to rub our face in the eagle. It happened. It's embarrassing. It's mortifying. It's unfortunate. It's tragic. It's humiliating. You ignore it. Sidestep it. Neglect it. Conceal it. Don't mention it so often, right? We all know every family has issues. Every relationship has complications. You don't talk about it. You avoid the issue. You guys are going to have 3 days Shavuos. I'm going to be here for Shavuos also. It's like a Survivor show on television. You're all going to have the whole family together on the one roof. Just don't talk about it. Just avoid the issue. That's all you have to talk about, Ula? The Gemara, as Rav Baruch was describing on Daf Pechas Meralav, so many beautiful, delectable descriptions of Nasev and Nishma, and the crowns, and the angels, and the fire, and the heaven, and the faith, and the courage, and then Ula has the nerve. Source number two, he quotes a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Look at source number one. It's a pasuk in the first paragraph of Shir HaShirim. Acha Melech Ben Simo, the king is celebrating in his chamber. He's celebrating the wedding, the intimacy, the romance, the description, obviously, of Har Sinai. Acha Melech Ben Simo, Nirdin Hasan Recho. We issued a terrible aroma. In our terminology, we blew it. Or in crass terminology, we stunk up the joint. Acha Melech Ben Simo, so how does Ula interpret it? Source number two. Aluvakala, disgusting, embarrassing, shameful bride. Mizana betoch chupasa, she's adulterous while she's at the chuppah. While she's under the chuppah, she's adulterous. That's who we were. Who is Ula describing? Describing us. It wasn't just Ula who had the nerve to highlight Egel and to highlight this terrible tragedy in the midst of the Gemara celebration of Har Sinai. This is the one blot and chance that celebrates. This is the Daf of Shavuos. One of Rabbi Kelman suggested three different plots. Of course we chose this plot.
There isn't another page in all of Shas. How many thousands of pages are there in Shas, Ula? And this is the moment you have to remind us of the Cheder Eichel. Comes along Shmuel's grandson, continuation of source 2. Amar Rav Mari, Breid Deba Shmuel. Rav Mari, the son of Shmuel's daughter, and he fits in Micra. Acha Melech Vem Sibao, near Dinatan Rechau. Ula, that image of the adulterous bride, that's exactly what's being described in Shir Hashir. How dare they? How dare they ruin Shavuos? How dare they? It happened. But everything that happens doesn't have to be spoken about. Just because something occurred doesn't mean you have to remind yourself and relive it and reprocess. Remember the good, ignore the bad, celebrate the high, try to sidestep the negative, think positive, nothing positive, they don't say it. At least not here, maybe in Maseches Yoma. Maybe in the Masechet Baal Tshuva, maybe on Yom Kippur time, maybe thinking about, but in the middle of Shabbos, middle of the description of Nasa V'Nishma, Ula and Shmuel's grandson, Rav Mari, have the nerve, the audacity, to shatter the grand illusion of Nasa V'Nishma. So why am I being so tough on Ula? And they said, I'm just a little nothing. I'm a shmagege. How can I be so aggressive with Ula? These are Amarayim. Because this debate took place in the Beis Midrash. And it wasn't me on the attack. It was Rabbi Yehuda. What I just told you was exactly what bothered Rabbi Yehuda. Because one day they came into the study hall about 2,000 years ago. And Rabbi Meir, as Ula did, Rabbi Meir preceded Ula, a couple hundred years. Rabbi Meir cited this pasuk, source number 4. Ad Sham Melech Bim Siba, they were discussing the pasuk. Just as we are right here tonight in Toronto at 9:15, Erev Yom Tov, 2,000 years ago in the Beis Medrash, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir were discussing this pasuk. Ad Sham Melech Bim Siba, Rabbi Meir Omer, Rabbi Meir interpreted it like Ula, Rabbi Meir interpreted it like Rav Mari. Source number 4, Rabbi Meir Omer, Ad Shem Melech Ma'achei HaMlachim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'Mesiba, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was celebrating our Sinai, Nasa V'Nishma, the joy, the intimacy, the romance. Berakia in heaven, Nasnu Yisrael Reach Ra, source 4, line 2, Am Yisrael emitted a foul odor, a foul stench, an abscess, an infection, festering. V'amru le'egel Elohecha Yisrael. They bow down to a calf. Embarrassing. And Rabbi Yehuda slammed his fist on the table. Amalei Rabbi Yehuda. Source number 4. Rabbi Yehuda shouted against Rameir. Dayach Rameir. Enough. Quiet. How dare you? Ein Darshim Shir Hashirim L'Gnai El L'Shvach. How dare you reroute Shir Hashirim into such ugliness and vulgarity? Ignore it. When you celebrate your anniversary, everyone has hard times. Every marriage struggles. That's what you talk about? That's what you put on your film? You sidestep it. You accentuate the positive. Everything in life is imperfect. How dare Reb Meir introduce such stench into Shir Hashir, into the bower of Tanakh, the bower of bliss? So my concern, my issue with Ula and Reb Mari is not mine. It's Rabbi Yehuda's. So how do you defend Ula? How do you defend Rav Mari, Shmuel's grandson? How do you defend Rav Meir? What did Rav Meir say? It's not recorded. Rav Meir is very quiet. Spoke very, very briefly. That's why the Mishnayos are more or less based on Rav Meir, because his teaching style is very concise and terse. So when Yehuda Hanasi codified the Mishnah, 90% of the Mishnah was based on Rav Meir, because he was such a clear educator. So when he quoted Rav Meir, he didn't have to quote different Rav Meir. So that's why Stam Masnis and Rav Meir. Whenever he doesn't quote Rav Meir, he tags it, Tar from Rabbi Akiva. Meir was quiet. You don't always have to answer. You don't always have to shout out. But you want to know what Rav Meir was thinking? You want to know what Ula was thinking? You want to know what Rav Meir was thinking? I'll tell you. But first I'll tell you a story. And if you understand the story, then you understand Rav Meir. Rav Avital, Zechrono Livracha, when he was meeting with the first group of Talmidim that first joined the yeshiva, we just celebrated Yom Yishalayim and the recovery of our land and our kotel and Gush Etzion and the rebuilding of the biblical center of Israel. The Talmidim said, Rebbe, what's going to make the yeshiva unique? What's going to make the yeshiva different? So everyone knows the cliched story about the baby crying. That's not the story that I'm going to tell. I don't know if you know the other story, the more important story. It's a chassid who's thrown in jail for stealing. They called the Rebbe into jail. And the Rebbe came in, took care of him, consoled him, spoke with him, comforted him, took him out of jail. A few weeks later, same chassid gets caught stealing. Throw him into jail. They call the Rebbe. The Rebbe comes in. Don't worry, you must have a problem. You're weak. Human nature is frail. As Reb Baruch mentioned, took him out. 3 weeks later, again, a month later, he gets caught stealing. They call the Rebbe. Okay, the Rebbe comes in. He's obviously a kleptomaniac. He's got issues. I'll deal with that. I also have issues, the Rebbe says. They sit and talk for a while. They stay up till late at night. At a certain point, the Rebbe dies. So who succeeds? In the son. A couple months after the Levaya, the same chassid gets caught stealing and thrown in jail a fourth time. So they call the Rebbe. Rebbe, come, come. The Rebbe's dead. Call the son. So the son comes into the jail cell and starts chiding and scolding the chassid. You're an embarrassment to me. You're an embarrassment to my father's legacy. He was there for you. This is how you repay him. How dare you, sinner, you disgusting, inferior Jew. I have nothing to do with you. Sit and rot in jail for a few moments, maybe an hour or two. Then maybe I'll take you out. And the chassid starts crying. He starts crying. He says, you don't understand something, he tells the Rebbe's son. I'm a Rasha, I'm not a tzaddik. Your father, I need your father, he says. You're a Rebbe for tzaddikim. You're only a good Rebbe for tzaddikim. I'm not a tzaddik, I'm a Rasha. Your father, he was a Rebbe for Rishayim. I need a Rebbe for Rishayim. I'm not a tzaddik, I'm a Rasha, I don't need you. So Rav Amital told the Talmidim, there are enough yeshivas for tzaddikim. I don't want to open a yeshiva for some Rishayim. If you understand that story, then you understand Rav Meir's mindset, and Rav Murray's mindset, and Ullah's mindset. You know the greatest Rebbe for Hashemus? Baruch Shalom. So easy to be a Rebbe for Tzaddikim. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I want to marry you. And I'm yours, and you're mine. And in every relationship, there are ups and downs, there are betrayals, there's suspicion, there's intimacy, there's distance, there's synchronicity, there's dissonance. And Rameer is saying that makes it real. The fact that we could sin during Chet HaEgel, I want to mention in Shir HaShirim, because we're married to the Ribono Shel Olam. Our relationship is not just one of commander and commandee, or not just one of a shvuah. All those things can be broken. Oaths can be broken, shvuahs can be broken. But married. It's a bris. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu married us, then even when we don't deserve His love, even when we don't deserve His love, He still gives it to us. And that's, in some ways, oddly enough, that's what intensifies a relationship. When you offer your love freely. When you're so selfless and so giving that you're not reciprocating, but you're delivering. And you're feeling ennobled by the selflessness and ennobled by the unilateralism of that free love that increases relationship, strengthens the bond. Rav Meir told Rabbi Yehuda, I am not tarnishing Shir HaShirim, I'm polishing it. I'm not ruining the image, I'm strengthening it. Ad shamelech v'mesiba nirdi nasan recha, Rav Meir said, Ula said, Rav Mari said, and we emitted a foul odor and we ruined the relationship and we're still a Kadosh Baruch Hu's. And that's why if you look at the end of the Gemara, source number 2, someone else joined the discussion. After Ula said, Nirdi Nasan Reicho. And after Rav Mari quoted the pasuk, what did Rav say? Rav, this is Rav. Amar Rav, ve'adayin chavivu sugabon, and he still loves us. Why? Because it doesn't say, Hisriach, that would be a disgusting word that we emitted. That's a really, really foul word that we smelled. It didn't say, Nirdi Hisriach, Rucho, Nirdi Nasan Reicho. It's like a euphemism. We emitted an unpleasant odor. It was unappealing. Because Rav understood it. And Rav Meir understood it. And Rav Mari understood it. And Ul understood it. And you know who else understood it? Rav Yishuv ben Levi. The next Tana. Because listen carefully. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us His love, even when we don't deserve it, because that's the definition of a covenant that outlasts time and performance and behavior. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us undeserved love, well, what's the continuation? What's the corollary? We have to give HaKadosh Baruch Hu undeserved love also. If Hashem loves us when we don't deserve it, then we have to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu even when He doesn't deserve it, at least to our eyes. Of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu deserves our love, but to the human eye, there are moments in history, there are moments in your personal life you just don't understand it. Doesn't make sense. You're frustrated with Avodas Hashem. You're frustrated with religion. You can't make sense of it. Doesn't make a difference. That's what marriage is. It's commitment. It's long-term. It's durability. It's faith. It's covenant. HaKadosh Baruch Hu inserted Ad Shem Melech B'Nesibo into Shir HaShirim. And then the next psukim. Look at Psoras number one. Right after that pasuk, which Rabbi Yehuda thought was insulting, but is really glorifying and romantic. Ad Shem Melech B'Nesibo Nasan Recho. What does Am Yisrael tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Tzroar Hamar Dodili, which literally means a bag of spice and fresh aroma, but more can also mean bitter. Tzroar Hamar Dodili, when Hashem gives me bitterness. Bein Shaddai Yalin, I still put my head on His chest, I still embrace Him. Eshkol HaKofer, when I suffer, when I'm ransomed, when I'm exiled, when I'm dispersed, when I'm paid kofer, Dodinli, He's still my lover. Amar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, source number three. This is the continuation. Don't be misled by the fact that there are different sources. It's a continuation of the Gemara. After Ula, and after Rav Mari, and after Rav highlighted our failure, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us despite our failure. Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, Kivayachal, highlighted the Rabbanu Shalom, excuse me for saying it, Kivayachal's failure in terms of our expectations. Amar Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi, my Dichsiv, this is the next line in the Gemara. Tzorah Amar Dodili, Amra Knesset Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rabbanu Shalom, Afo Pi Shem Neitzahu Meimarli, even if you punish me, even if you persecute me, even if I'm chased and exiled and hunted down and discriminated, Afo Pi Shem Neitzahu Meimarli, Ben Shaddai Yalin, I will not sever from you. It's the mirror image of Ad Shem Melech B'Mesibo, Nir Dinah San Recha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, these are your flaws, and these are my flaws. And let's continue to love each other. Kivayachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu's flaws. Kivayachal, of course. We failed Him. And lahavdil, kivayachal, there are times we just can't understand what He's doing for us. But it doesn't change. That's what a relationship is. That's what a covenant is. And that's why Rav Meir was so confident that this pasuk, Ad Shem Melech B'Nesibo, Nirdi Nasan Recho, had to be front and center in Shir HaShirim. The miracle of history. Miracle of history. How could a people? It's a beautiful medrash. Kadosh Baruch Hu comes to Am Yisrael at the end of time and says, how did you do it? How did you remain intact? How did you keep your national cohesion, your faith, your commitment? You had no country, no flag, no nationhood, no common language, no currency, no army. The medrash says, Am Yisrael turns to their Rabbanu Shel Olam. Yonah, see, Bechag ve'asela v'seisa madriga, Am Yisrael is compared to a Yonah. He says, you told us, you promised us, you gave us the Torah. What more do we need? You told us that we're your people. You loved us at Har Sinai. And that love can never fade. All the mutinies, all the insults, all the failures. Gemara says in Sanhedrin, according to one day, that the Dor HaMidbar doesn't enter Eretz Yisrael because of all their, doesn't enter Olam Haba. All the people we read about, this week's Parsha, Parsha's Bamidbar, all those Nasirim, all those thousands of people, were eliminated, were exterminated in the desert. And according to one position in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, they abdicated their share in Olam Haba. They're cut off. They're lost for eternity. But the Gemara Paskins know. Even then, even with the Meraglim and even with the Chera Ego, even then, why Zacharti Lachasen Urayach? Avas Kulasayach. Lechtech Acharei Bamidbar. That special romance that we had with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it left an indelible imprint on both of us. And all of history is trying to find that love again, trying to attune ourselves to that ancient echo, to make our way back into that romance. And we fail HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes, and sometimes Kivayachal. Again, we just don't understand. But our relationship supersedes. It's not if anything, ironically, the Chet HaEgel cemented the relationship. Not that we endorse it or pursue it, but it cemented the relationship, and that's why the pasuk appears. So that's what happens to Nasa v'Nishma after Chet HaEgel. And that's why the ensuing Gemara, right after those brilliant, beautiful, resplendent descriptions that you spoke about, the immediate next Gemara is, we failed. But he still loves us. Adayin, Rav's language, Adayin Chavivusa Gavan. Adayin Chavivusa Gavan. He still loves us. Tzor Hamor, Alpha Pisha Meitzar Umeimar Li. Enough, sometimes I feel like turning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Shalom and saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how much more do you want? We just outlasted the Holocaust, and then 25, 30 years later, we have to live through terror and live through struggle and live through an international pressure. How much could we take already? What do you expect of us? But the Baruch Shalom gave us that ability, that capacity. Somehow the love at Har Sinai was so deep. You all know there are moments, especially those here who are married. And Baruch Hashem, I have a beautiful marriage. I love my wife to the end. Please make sure you tell her I said this. But there are moments of frustration, indifference, you know, different wavelengths. Marriage is about romance. It's about intimacy. It's about emotional bonding. It's about feeling closer to another human being in ways that your mind can't even begin to articulate. But then there are moments that are cold, that are dry, that are distant, that are somewhat asynchronous. And it's covenant that says it. It's a covenant. It's a bris. You're committed to each other. You live a life of commitment. I remember once I was on a plane coming back from Chicago. I had one of these crazy days in Chicago. It's impossible to get out of Chicago. It's like the busiest airport. If like a pilot takes 5 extra minutes in the restroom, his flight is delayed 5 minutes, the next flight is 10 minutes, the flight behind 25 minutes, and you can't get out of Chicago. So finally, after shiurim and a wedding and interviews and long 18-hour day, I get onto the plane. I finally sit down on the plane, and no one knows me. No one knows my name. I just sit down and learn for an hour and a half, Chicago to New York, on my own person. I sit down, turn to the person next to me, say, good evening, how are you? Travel safely, enjoy your flight. Okay. Sit down, I open my Gemara. Wonderful, time has come. It's like really late, 2 a.m. I didn't think his flight was delayed. And he was just a very, very sociable person, to my misfortune. He says, what are you studying? I'm studying ancient Jewish law. So he says, what's it called? And I say, well, it's called the Talmud. He says, well, what topic are you studying? So I was learning Maseches Nida. I said, Jewish hygiene. I started to describe it, and then he said, the 5 or 6 words I least wanted him to say. He could have said any other 5 or 6 words in the world. But these are the 5 or 6 words I didn't want him to say. He says to me, oh, don't worry. I know about it. I'm a Jew. I said, Rabbi Nishalal, we've got 18 hours. About this part, couldn't you sit me next to an Irishman? A Buddhist monk. A Soviet-era communist somewhere. Not next to... So here I am. It's 2 a.m. So I make small talk with him. I'm not going to be frontal. I'm not going to start the Makari from right off the bat. I'll start to make small talk. Who is he? So he's a professor from MIT. Oh, so I'm a Rebbe in Gush. I have a lot in common. I start giving him tips in education and, you know, exchanging pedagogic tools. And then he says, tell me something. Are you married? I said, Baruch Hashem, I'm very happily married. He said, I don't understand something, he says. He says, I can understand where at a certain point in life your trajectory and her trajectory overlap and converge. But then you keep growing and she keeps growing and your growth patterns are divergent and then you're no longer in love. I was trying to explain to him that marriage is not a convergence of vectors. It's not a physics arc. Marriage is about 2 people that are committed to each other. And that commitment is fueled by love and fueled by romance. But there's so much more to it. And again, you know, I tried to encourage him. He's already in his 30s. I tried to give him a little mustard. He should get married. And then somewhere over the Adirondacks, he finally popped the question, why do I believe, etc. I don't know what happened to him. But it's what marriage is. It's what our relationship with the Kodesh Baruch Hu is. The high times and the low times. The good times and the bad times. That's why the Gemara continues. That's why Rav said what he said at Ayin Chavivusa Gavei. That's why Rav Meir inserted Atcha Melech B'Mesibo. And Rav Baruch, exactly. And I'm very, very honored to... I was mechave into the Medrash you quoted. Okay? Nasa V'Nishma. So we compromised Nasa. We failed Nasa. Unfortunately, we all fail Nasa at one point or another. But the Rabbeinu Shel Olam told us Nishma. Nishma means, on the one hand, hear the Torah so that you'll be able to apply it and study it and understand it. But also just hear my voice. Just be have a keshet with me, even if you're not able to be Nasa. Even if you can't fulfill a mitzvah. Even just the fact that we stood at Har Sinai, heard the voice of Rabbeinu Shel Olam, heard his voice, we had a keshet with him, and we still, even Yidden today who are unable, are unwilling to keep mitzvahs. The Medrash that you quoted, Rebaruch, I quoted also source number 5. Mashal Melech, the king who was Mekadesh, his wife with 2 pearls. One is Nasa and one is Nishma. But you didn't quote the end of the Medrash and neither did I. Every day, according to the Medrash, we say one word to remind ourselves that even though we may have compromised Nasa, there's still a value to Nishma. And even for Jews who are unable or completely severed from Nasa, the fact that they stood at Har Sinai and heard the voice of the Rabbeinu Shalom still has an impact. What's that one word we say every day, the Medrash says? Shema Yisrael. According to the Medrash, when we say Shema Yisrael, and every Jew today knows that pasuk, those that are from, those that aren't from, ask the most alienated Jew, the one pasuk he knows, because it's Hashgacha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu planted it in the Jewish imagination. When he said, Kol Hashem, we said, Kol Hashem, Divrei Hashem, Nasa, V'Nishma, Hashem said, my children, I know you won't always be Nasa. I know that not everyone will be Nasa. But Nishma, come and talk to me a little bit. Come and hear my voice. That will mean something also. For the rest of history, I'll say Shema. And deep down, the Jew will know that I heard the voice of Rabbeinu Shalom. I heard it at Har Sinai. I started with one story of my Rebbe Rav Amital, so I'll end with a different story that captures Nasa. The Rebbe's up all night long, and the Hasidim are filing in. And each Chassid comes to the Rebbe. The first Chassid says, Rebbe, my wife, she's not feeling well. She needs a Refuah Shleimah. The Rebbe says, okay, Kitzit Tzedakah, Lensin Mishnayos. Seisin Tehillim shall have a Refuah Shleimah. And the next Chassid comes in, my daughter needs a Shidduch. Okay, learn Maseches Kiddushin and give some Tzedakah, Seisin Tehillim. School I have. Next, Parnassah, they have not Parnassah, Mekinish Parnassah. So he says, okay, learn Maseches Bav Metzia, say some this Tehillim, give some Tzedakah. You'll have Parnassah. And then at 2 o'clock, the Gabbai closes up the shop and he's walking home with the Rebbe, and last minute a chassid comes bursting in. I need to speak to the Rebbe. I need to speak. So the Gabbai says, Nish, Nish, Nish. Rebbe says, let him in. So the chassid comes over to the Rebbe and says, Rebbe, I have a problem. What's your problem? The Rebbe says, with his eyes basically falling out of their sockets at 2:30 in the morning. Chassid says, Rebbe, my cow, he has a headache. My cow has a headache. What am I going to do? It's an ear-splitting headache. So the Rebbe sits down and says, tell me a little bit about your cow. Give some staka, say some tehillim, and some mishnayas, mesechas para, have a four shalema, your cow have a four shalema. So the walk home, it's 3:30, and the mishamish says, Rebbe, I understand the chassid with the wife who was ill, chassid with the daughter needs a shidduch, the chassid of the anasa, but that's all you have to do at 2:30 at night. 2:30 in the morning to deal with this chassid's cow's headache. You have nothing better to do with your time. So the Rebbe turns to the Gabbai and says, you don't understand. He was not interested in discussing his cow with me. He wanted me. He wanted contact with me. The cow, that was just a pretense. That was just the introduction. He just wanted to spend a few minutes with me. So we spent a few minutes with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. Baruch Hashem, for everyone in this room, it wasn't just a few minutes with some lingering residue in our subconscious. But every mitzvah we heard at RC and I were careful about, and we'll celebrate Yom Matan Torah Mitzvah Hashem in a couple of days. What type of, words can't describe the glory of people accepting the will of Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Bechir Chashis of their own will. Baruch Hashem, but then there are other Yidden who have fallen off of Nasa, who have lost that pearl, that one pearl. I have to tell you, when I see a Jew today who isn't from, I don't feel anger, I don't feel contempt, I don't feel, I feel one single sentiment. I totally and completely understand. Most Jews today have had their religion beaten out of them by history. Enough, how much can you take? How much can a person take? I understand that. I'm a baser v'dam. You go from being in Spanish Inquisition to being murdered in Poland to being discriminated through Europe to being burnt in gas chambers. How much can you take already? And that's just the physical side of the struggle, the intellectual struggle and the confusion of the night. How much can a person take? Mekendish. How much can a person take to be from at the end of history? Excuse me for saying this, and you shouldn't be recording this. To be from at the end of history, you have to be Meshuggah. I am Meshuggah. I like being Meshuggah. It's good to be Meshuggah. It's to be crazy. But love makes you crazy. Love talk makes you crazy. People do crazy things for love. And that's our relationship with Nasa and Israel. So every day you say Shema, we're going to daven Maariv, right? At a certain point, daven Maariv. Say Shema, you saw it's the end of the Medrash. I feel bad. I didn't quote the end of the Medrash. Medrash says every time you say Shema, part of Shema is re-invoking the Nishma. We say Shema. Nasa, okay, that's the second parasha of Kriya Shema. Ever ask yourself why the first parasha of Kriya Shema is in Beschanan and the second parasha of Kriya Shema is in Ekev? Why aren't they continuous? If they're meant to be one parasha and then to recite them together? The answer is because Beschanan is about hearing the voice of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Ekev, Hayim, Shema, Tishmo, Mitzvah is about mitzvahs. And the Rebbeinu Shlom knew that a lot of Yidden couldn't get the Parshas Ekev. So he said, for you, I have Parshas Beschanan. And then the Yidden who are Matzliach to get to Ekev. Okay, so we're Makayim Baruch Hashem. This is the Nasa V'Nishma group. They renamed T.I.M. the Nasa V'Nishma group. But many Yidden out there are on Zaycha to Nasa, but don't ignore the Nishma. Don't ignore the fact there's still a Makabel or Rebbeinu Shlom. It'll be not his Malchus Shemayim and not his mitzvahs, but the sense of Rebbeinu Shlom, sense of a chosen people, the sense of a message, even if that message has become so distended and altered that it barely, it's still a pulse of Har Sinai. Still, even a Jew today who is unable to even say the word Har Sinai says the word Shema, and in his moral agenda, in his crusade for social justice, in his attempt to change the world, it's still the Masara of Avraham Avinu. It's still the Masara of Har Sinai. And it's still saying Shema. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Chacham. He said, not saying, we're a Chacham, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Chacham. And Rav Meir was the biggest Chacham. We hear the God all upset. Yacham Meir, how could you introduce such a pasuk? Rav Meir said, it's an important pasuk. Let it stay. Chag Sameach, everyone. Chag Sameach.
Yes, Yisro Koach.
Yisro Koach.